El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is our news and information hour, and we invite you to join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of our show. It all starts at 9:15 Pacific, that's 12:15 Eastern, with a pre-show that is uncensored. In fact, all of our material off the air is uncensored. I scream, I cry, it's fantastic. You can also get the podcast of The Daily Show. You get thousands of hours of downloads of radio shows, and great radio shows. We ain't talking about slipping some Herman Cain slash Fred Thompson in on you. We're not talking about putting these hacks and amateurs in the old archive. You're getting Phil, baby. Over a decade's worth of great radio available to you at philhenryshow.com and our archives. Now, I also want to tell you, with Father's Day around the corner, and I do mean around the corner. When is Father's Day? Is it this weekend?
Yeah, I've been coming up on Sunday, or it's
either Sunday, or it's going to be, it's either this Sunday, or next Sunday after that, or the one after that.
Ain't that just as specific as you can be? In any event, Father's Day, I think Father's Day is a week from Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, and I could very well be mistaken.
Yeah, that's because your dad's dead.
Exactly. So, what do you mean?
Hey, man.
Talk about that.
You won't slug him, man.
I will, too. Have a little sensitivity. Yes, my father's dead, and he's been dead a long time. In fact, I don't even remember having a father. Yes, I do. He was a fine man. Anyway, my dad got plenty of Father's Days out of this life. So, go over to Amazon. Go over to philhenryshow.com and go to the shop. And you will find there in our shop fantastic stuff like the hooded pullover sweatshirt, like all of our downloads, our digital downloads, like our collectibles. How about this for Dad for Father's Day? A shot glass. The Phil Henry Show shot glass. How about the Phil Henry Show coffee mug? How about the Bobby Dooley keychain? How about the ball cap, the T-shirt, the hooded sweatshirt? It's all there and more at the Phil Henry Show shop, so check it out. And make sure your friends and neighbors know it's there, and make sure that you basically turn into a one-person promotional arm of the Phil Henry Show. And I thank you very much. And, you know, no, I wouldn't be that ridiculous, but
that would be great. People just go out there and work for you for free.
Yeah, wouldn't it be, though? That's called slave labor, bud. I don't believe in that often. All right, welcome back anyway, and I do thank Chris Norton and our other guests this evening, including Eric Eisenblatt, the attorney at law who was, you know, kind of running it down for us there on how to discipline a child. That was real bizarre, but that's a true story. The story that we were referencing was this man in Imperial County, San Diego, who was videotaped by a neighbor as he was disciplining his son who had dropped a baseball. And the videotape made it onto Facebook and onto YouTube, and then eventually made its way to the sheriff's department there in Imperial County, where the police were alerted and they arrested the dad. So just remember when I tell you, and I'm not going to belabor this because we have far more interesting and far more pertinent news to get to, like the woman who is suing eHarmony because the guy that she met online at eHarmony gave her herpes. But anyway...
Man, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. But anyway... Just remember what I told you. If you think it's the government that's got its nose up your rear end, man, you are way, way out there. You don't even know what's going on. I'll tell you who's spying on your ass. Some dumbass that lives next door to you. Or in this case, a really smart guy. It's the truth. I got to laugh sometimes.
But you don't have to run that by me, man.
I'm just telling you. I don't know how else I can explain it any better. I laugh my ass off at people. People have got it so bass-ackwards, it's not even funny. I was talking to somebody in Florida over the early part of the week, and they described the Federal Reserve as evil. And I said...
Well, yeah, but it is evil. Ron Paul said so.
Hold on there, Kemosabe, and let me explain. Ron Paul said so. Oh, well, man. When you say something is evil, you automatically attach to it an intent. There is an intent to be evil. Now, there's a very short step from that to, and who controls the money? The Jews. So here's what I'm saying. If you want to get excited about the Federal Reserve, there's plenty to get excited about in terms of the destructive nature of it. But when you also attach to it evil, Now you're just another dumbass, because that gives you an excuse not to be educated. That just lets you say it's evil, and we have to get away from it, and you're no better than these people that burned witches.
I don't understand what you mean.
What are you talking about? It is evil.
No, it's not evil, man. Let me give you an explanation. First of all, the whole reason why the Federal Reserve came into existence, why we had Reserve Bank. Why the hell do you think it's called Federal Reserve Bank?
Because of the reserve?
Because it was a reserve source of cash. Why was that? Because we had, up to that point, recessions and depressions in this country where people were dying from malnutrition, where people were living in on the street, where people... You think this recession's bad? We have no idea what a bad recession is. We got no clue at all. None. Zero. Today, you listen to the average American, and he's in real distress. Why is that? Because he had to take his kid out of private school. That's what they think is some real badass distress in this country. Today, you talk to a guy about the terrible, terrible distress that he's in, and he'll tell you, my God, I had to sell our vacation home. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, I know there's people that are out of work. Have you heard of anybody starving to death in this country lately as the result of the recession? Have you heard about anybody who was gainfully employed before the recession? The recession came along and they starved to death. No, you haven't, because it hasn't happened. So we don't have a clue. But in this country, that's exactly what happened not too long ago in the 19th century. I'm reading a book. I just got done reading that book about Grover Cleveland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, huh?
Well, you're always talking about some history book.
That's right. And if you read a few more books, Dopey, you too, Sneezy.
I've written some book, man. I've read that. Well, it is a book.
It's the book version of Animal House. That ain't a book.
Yeah, I want to read that too.
In any event, 1893, this country was in such distress that... people were out of work all over the country. The Panic of 1893. It was a horrible time. All right. So, banks closed. Every day in the newspaper, banks were going out of business. Do you want to go to a bank? You go to a bank, and you say, I'd like my money. No, you don't get your money. Why? Because we don't have any money. Now, what would the average American today say? Mr. I don't believe in the Federal Reserve. Mr. Ron Paul Forever. What would he say? Where's my federally insured deposit? You know what the teller ought to say? He ought to turn around and look at a guy and say, well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Ron Paul supporter, you ain't got one. The bank's going to close. Your ass is grass. There's no money. How do you feel about that?
Can't talk about the deposit. Talk about Federal Reserve.
Hold on, Mr. The Federal Reserve is evil. The Federal Reserve was created originally so that there would be a reserve amount of cash so that banks would not run out of money. They could go and get some. Now, that's not evil, however much you want to call it. It's not evil. Has it been abused? Has it been misused? Has it been used for reasons other than the intentional, you know, the reasons it was intended for? Yes. But to attribute to that evil, that's what stupid people do when they're too dumb to figure out what's going on. They just say something's evil. There's no difference between a person calling the Federal Reserve evil and somebody saying that women are evil. Because there was a time when they used to say women were evil. Do women do evil things? I guess. I've known a few. Are women evil? No. Are women people? Yeah. Is the Federal Reserve evil? No. Has it done stupid things that has probably resulted in some horrific events in this country that some people would interpret as evil? Yes. There's a big difference, folks. There's a huge difference. And when you start engaging in rhetoric like that, what you're doing is this. You're giving yourself the excuse not to understand the issue. You're giving yourself the excuse to be emotional, to talk like an imbecile, to sound like a jackass, and when somebody says you sound emotional, it's evil. The Federal Reserve is evil. And they'll forgive you for being emotional because, after all, the Federal Reserve is evil. Why wouldn't we be emotional in the face of such evil, right? That's what that is. And that's one of the problems this country has. It's not a big one, and we'll get over it because hopefully, I hope we're educated enough to recognize where we're going, man. Don't be, you know, giving in to that kind of thing.
Well, okay, I mean, I'm not evil or anything, but it's bad.
Okay, maybe it's bad. Let's talk about it being bad. Like, how about this? It's a bad idea. Okay, great. All right, great. Maybe it shouldn't be manipulating the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Maybe they shouldn't be setting interest rates. Maybe they shouldn't be controlling money flow that way. Maybe it should go back to its original purpose, which was to simply just be cash, to have enough cash so that the bank could, you know, do what it needed to do. But here's what's happening in this country, and it gets right back to that discussion I had earlier about how in our country, we focus on the wrong things. The people of this country focusing on how evil the government is, you have no idea. The real evil is in the stupidity of your neighbor, you. The guy that's likely to have the camera shoved in your bedroom window watching what you're doing in there. Ain't the government. It's the guy next door. That's how bass-ackwards we are, and that's pretty much the view we have when it comes to money, money policy, and the Federal Reserve. It's evil.
Well, I mean, so what are you saying? It's good?
No, I ain't saying it's good. You've been listening to me, man.
Yeah?
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's evil, though. I'm saying it may be a good idea whose time has worn out its welcome. Maybe it's a good idea that needs to be retooled. Maybe it's an idea that needs to be reworked. Any number of things. Ron Paul is never going to be president of the United States. His ideas will stay with people. But don't take good ideas and turn them into bad ideas because you haven't got the brains to understand them in the first place. And if he asked me, and you know, I shouldn't say this, I'm sure that Ron Paul has some very intelligent followers and very intelligent, but most of the people that represent Ron Paul's constituency, these people online, boy, they are dumb. Woo! Man.
You're talking about me.
You are dumb, bud, and you know that. All right, we'll be back here with a woman, age 49, awarded $900,000 after a retired dentist she met on eHarmony gave her herpes. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
So I was talking to Dan. I said, well, because I'm kind of a history freak, so I go on I go on Google Earth and I find the coordinates.
What do you mean by coordinates?
There are coordinates. There are Earth coordinates, and these are spots. You can locate any spot on Earth using these coordinates, and Google will give you the coordinates of certain areas. So, for instance, I was telling Dan I was reading about the Crimean War and the charge of the Light Brigade, and they actually have the Earth coordinates. So I entered those in, and it zooms right down to where the damn charge of the Light Brigade took place, and Sebastopol, which is in Crimea. And I did the satellite view, and I looked at the area, and it's a bunch of marinas with shops, and they might as well have like a fish and chips place there now.
You're trying to tell me that the Light Brigade was charging around? They're selling fish and chips and everything?
No, they got that malt vinegar?
I don't know if they got malt vinegar. What are you talking about?
Get the fish and chip.
What I'm trying to tell you, idiots, is that it's funny how the world has changed from a point, from the, you know, the charge of the Light Brigade and the battle for Crimea and all that bullcrap, this romantic period, and now you look at Google Earth and you look at the satellite picture, and it looks like there's bait shops there and some guy with, you know, a hat taking it, going down to his boat.
What is?
Oh, forget it.
Talk about Sebastian.
Sebastopol. It's the name of a town. All right, so a woman, what's really funny is they have the eHarmony. If you're looking at Phil TV, here's the eHarmony ad. See, there's the woman with the smile, and they're both they're middle-aged. She's gorgeous, of course. She's she's middle-aged. She's about 59, and she looks like a model, and there's the guy, and he's bucks up. And so that's the eHarmony ad. After signing up to a dating website, eHarmony, one 49-year-old divorcee was delighted to meet a charming gentleman 20 years her senior. The pair from Oregon had plenty to talk about. For starters, she was a dental hygienist and he a retired dentist. But now a jury has awarded $900,000 to the woman who claimed that the 69-year-old Portland man intentionally gave her herpes. The jury heard how on May 25th, 2010, the two met up for their fourth date where, after an evening of getting to know one another over canapes, wine, and smoking big fat blunts... No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, bud. After smoking marijuana, they had cess. Lying together post-coitus...
What's that mean?
After having sex, okay?
Yeah, but what's that mean?
I told you what it means after having sex. Lying together post-coitus, the man then confessed to having the sexually transmitted disease. She kicked him out of her home. After suffering from painful outbreaks of the disease, which sent her into depression, the woman filed a lawsuit. The woman who filed the case under a pseudonym testified that she asked her date to wear a condom, and he agreed. However, she later noticed he was no longer wearing protection. The Oregonian reports that it was the first time that a case of a person suing another for intentionally transmitting genital herpes went to trial in Oregon, according to lawyers.
What?
It's the first time it went to trial, according to her lawyers, where they sued somebody for having the herpes. Okay? They say similar cases have been... You know, I got herpes from somebody. I mean, just, you know, a woman. Am I suing her? No.
Yeah, I do. You could probably make a lot of money. You know who it is?
Yeah. And it was a long time ago, and I don't know. I'm not going to... What are you talking about? First of all, it was in the 70s when people were just flat stupid about all that stuff anyway. I'm going to sue her. Yeah, Mr. Henry, had you been concerned about this before? Well, I mean... Yeah, uh-huh. But this is the modern times. This is the 2011, 2012 times. And people are hip. They are hip to the jive, baby. And they don't want no herps if they don't have to get it. The man testified he didn't know he was contagious. His lawyer argued that she was lying about her sexual history and may have had sex with other men who gave her the disease as well. Now, other cases like this had been settled out of court. So what the Oregonian was reporting...
What's the Oregonian?
That's the Portland newspaper. What they're reporting, this is the first time that a case of this suing another for intentionally transmitting genital herpes went to trial. Before this, it generally was settled out of court. Or as they call it, the steps of the courthouse. Courthouse steps lawyering. However, this went right to trial. Now, this guy, the doctor, said he didn't know he was contagious. Now, he's a doctor, right? Or am I getting that wrong?
No, he's a doctor.
And this jackass is trying to tell me that he doesn't know that he's got herpes. He told her he had herpes, but he didn't know he was contagious? Well, that's great to know. You got, because if you're a dentist, even if you're a dentist...
No, I was going to say, he's a dentist, man. How do you know?
Dentists have got to take medical... they have to have some level of medical education. How's he going to know he was a dentist?
Well, I know he get herpes by way of the mouth.
Yeah, I know that much, but wouldn't know about the other.
Yes, he would, man. No dentist, anybody with any kind of medical tuition, such as this chap, should know. All right. The woman... Pardon me, but this is very unfortunate. She does come from Beaverton, Oregon.
See
what? I'm joking around. The woman from Beaverton, Oregon, and the judge did say, pardon me, are you from Beaverton? Well, we're going to have to take a recess, Your Honor. The woman from Beaverton, Oregon said she took antiviral medication, but it caused large chunks of her hair to fall out and made her weight balloon by 30 pounds. The judge said, yes, but it went all to your ass. And that ain't bad. That ain't a bad thing. The woman's attorney, Randall Vogt, praised his client as a heroine for holding a dangerous man responsible, according to the Oregonian. Defense attorney Sean Lilligren said the woman should have insisted that his client wear a condom and argued that she was money hungry. Go for a million. That's the plaintiff's message, Lilligren said. God bless America. Go for it. Got some coffee to spill on me? Question mark. So obviously this man comparing that to the McDonald's case where the lady sued. Yeah, I got to tell you something. I think that McDonald's case was a good case.
Yeah, you said you agree with that lady.
I do agree with that lady. When I first heard about the spilled coffee case, I was like most people. I said, oh, my God, are you kidding me? But when you give someone liquid that is scalding hot, that's dangerous. Now, let me ask a question here, if I may. If you would have spilt that coffee on a child, on a little child, you think that would have been worth a lawsuit?
No, that's stupid.
Okay, because you know that can scar people for life. All right, we'll be right back. I just saw Morgan Freeman on TV on a show called Through the Wormhole, and I realize he's marrying his step-granddaughter. We'll be right back.
I'll take Through the Wormhole.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I mean, in a lot of ways, we do the kind of show that we do just to have fun and to mess with people's minds and everything. I swear to God, even I'm not low enough to go on the air and say, yes, there is now a disease that's infecting people and they're turning into face-eating zombies. Run for the hills. I bet you if I got on the air and I did something like that, they could charge me with a federal crime, to wit, creating a public emergency. There's a specific law that applies to broadcasters. False news reporting and reporting a false news story and creating a public panic is against the law. Now, it has to be a false news story that would reasonably, you know, once again, we go to this standard that a reasonable person's going to believe. For instance, a station in St. Louis, Missouri got fined, I don't know, man, like 20 years ago, because the disc jockey came on the air, and this was really stupid. I mean, I guess the guy thought that he was doing something groovy, but in point of fact, it got him fired, it got the station fined, and I don't know what he proved. But anyway, the guy went on the air and said that incoming missiles were now approaching the United States from China, and he hit the emergency broadcasting system alarm, whatever that is. So naturally, people were freaked. So the station got fined, this guy got fired, and I remember even when I heard the story, I thought the guy was a dumbass.
What an ass, Captain!
Yeah, I mean, what was he trying to prove?
He was trying to make some point about war is bad. I don't know. You know, yeah, no, you're right, pal. War is good. Actually, if you think about it, war is good if it eradicates an evil. What's wrong with war? How can you say war is bad if it gets rid of an evil thing? So sometimes war is bad if it's started by an evil entity and does nothing but make people suffer and further enhances that evil empire, whatever that may be. But sometimes it's good. So anyway, you can't do that. And so if I came on the air, now here's the question. If I came on the air and I said, yes, we now do have reports that there is a disease that turns people into face-eating zombies, okay? Now, on the surface, you'd have to be a blithering idiot to believe that. Even with the incident that happened in Miami and other such copycat incidents, which really are just the result of psychotic people acting out, I'd probably get fined. I bet, because first of all, the FCC is full of so many stupid people. You want to find a concentration of imbeciles, go to the Federal Communications Commission. You will find a nice, tight concentration of the biggest jackasses the world has ever known. And I swear to God, I don't have any proof, but I have long suspected those guys are on the take like you. I'll tell you right now, I believe it. I don't have any proof, but I believe that members of the Federal Communications Commission get an envelope a week from big money broadcasters in this country so that, A, they'll license more stations, B, they'll hand out fines to whoever offending personalities or small companies they can to keep the other big companies happy. I mean, I swear to God, I think it's happening. And I don't really have any proof. The reason why I say it is because I spoke to an FCC commissioner once, and that was one too many. I mean, I've never talked to a dumber man in my life. I've never talked to a stupider human being in my life than a member of the Federal Communications Commission. So if I said on the air, face-eating zombies are attacking, I probably would get fined by the FCC because the level of idiot that works there would probably have some compassion and sympathy for the idiot that called in the complaint, you know? Hey, man, that guy's on the internet with zombies. Yeah, you're right. That'd probably be half the cats on the FCC would believe it.
Yeah, the guy on the FCC be running for the hill.
You'd have to start a zombie shelter so the FCC people go to it.
A zombie shelter.
They probably need to have a zombie shelter.
So, and then you say, well, that's not a reasonable story. And I would say to you, well, is it not a reasonable story if there's people eating people's faces in the news? And you would say, and rightfully so, no, it still is not a reasonable thing to believe. Even with people attacking other human beings and disfiguring people and assaulting them that way, no, it's not reasonable to believe that there are face-eating zombies. There's nothing in science. This is a fantastical story. It has more to do with just the violent act of psychotic people. There's no way in hell if I sat on the FCC's board and I had a case come before me of a radio station saying face-eating zombies are attacked. There's no way that I would support fining that individual because I would say that I don't give a damn if there was a very traumatic and very notorious news story out of Miami of a sick, drug-addicted or drug-affected psychotic person attacking a man in that manner. That still does not, I don't make the leap, nor should a reasonable person make the leap from that to zombie. You've got to be a mental midget. You have to be an adult going on the age of 4. Anybody that called the Center for Disease Control and asked if zombies exist is an idiot. Should have their car keys taken away from them. Should probably have their children taken away from them. Should not be allowed to operate heavy machinery, should not be allowed to work in any government job, and quite honestly, should not be allowed to work in any job. Anybody that called the Center for Disease Control to ask about the possibility that there are face-eating zombies should be immediately given a CAT scan to make sure that there's no brain tumor, and then a mandatory intelligence test because that those people are functioning idiots. And if they've got any kind of a job that requires some sort of manual dexterity as well as a quick thinking ability, you better get them the hell out of there, man, because they're going to kill people.
Well, I mean, don't you think it's reasonable on account of the guy ate the guy's face?
No, I don't think it's reasonable.
Why not?
I told you, man.
Yeah, but the guy, it's pretty, in other words, you could say, all right, I don't think there's zombies, but there's enough of the zombie attack that you could say it.
No, man. No, I don't. I don't care. We've had, I don't know, 3-4 news stories about this. Now, I know the nature of this kind of thing. These psychos act out when they see something in the news. The same thing happened with that Lorena Bobbitt story. That guy got his penis cut off by that crazed wife of his. Next thing you know, there were guys cutting their penises off. Are you going to tell me there's some sort of a supernatural force at work there?
But it wasn't zombies, though.
Well, what? Wasn't zombies? Really? Maybe there's a new kind of zombie.
What do you mean, new kind of zombie?
Maybe these guys were turned into some kind of a zombie that cuts its own penis off. I don't know. I'm telling you that I'm just the nature of mass media and the nature of how information circulates in this world of ours very, very quickly. It does not necessarily mean, you'd think that it would mean that people are a little better educated and are a little further removed from the old superstitions. And even in a country like America, the United States of America, the most advanced, the most educated, the pinnacle of human societal evolution, America, even in this country, we've got some dumbass calling the CDC asking if zombies exist. That guy should have been identified immediately by the person answering the phone and immediately should have been picked up by the dumb police.
The dumb police, man. They ought to have that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't be wishing for it because, Bud, you'd be the first guy to go into the paddy wagon and you'd be second.
Paddy wagon is racist.
What?
Yeah, I found out paddy wagon means Irish.
Oh, whatever. So, paddy wagon. That's what should have happened. And of course it didn't. And I'm not going to go on the air and say that, face-eating zombies are attacking, because I guarantee I'm going to get people calling here. And if you want to do a talk show sometime, if you want to know how stupid people are, some of the phone calls we get, you wouldn't believe. So what I would do, I would never do that, man.
Yeah, you just said it'd be stupid.
No, you're right. But I wouldn't do it anyway, because the FCC in Washington would turn around and fine me. That's how dumb they are. I'm telling you, the Federal Communications Commission is a national disaster. It is, of all the federal agencies, and the thing that I just love about all these conservative talkers on the radio, all these posing right-wingers, all these guys that say that they don't like federal interference, all these guys that say they don't like the government sticking their nose. The minute somebody says boo-boo or doo-doo or some dirty word on the radio, those are the first guys to start talking about morality, and you better find them and get the government involved and get the FCC involved. Blah, 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 blah. There are reasons why broadcasters like me hate the FCC, and there are others like me. There are reasons, because they are, number one, it is a concentration of stupidity like none you've ever seen before. What do I mean by that, folks? What I mean is they don't know anything about broadcasting. They don't know anything about what I do. They don't know. I could sit all of the FCC commissioners down in this room right now, and they'd stare at me with their big, stupid-looking faces and their mouths wide open with a little bit of drool coming out as I explain to them the art of broadcasting. There isn't no one of them that would understand. They wouldn't know what I'm up against every night here, or anybody else for that matter, if their lives hung in the balance. That's number one. That's just number one on the long laundry list of things that they don't know. They don't know why they fine people. They don't know, and on and on and on it goes. I was supposed to get really excited when I saw that the FCC got a new chairman, some jackass who was a congressman who used to own a couple of radio stations. I'm supposed to get jazzed about that? Some suit? Some suit who traded in his empty radio suit to become a congressman, and he was about as effective as a congressman as he was as a broadcaster, which was not at all, and they kicked his ass upstairs as the FCC commissioner. Why is that? Because he knows all about pagers. And beepers, probably. So, no, I ain't going to do that. No way, man.
Yeah, so all you're doing, old man, is you're saying you're giving everybody credibility about a zombie.
I'm not giving any zombie credibility, man. All I'm telling you is I'm not going to be the guy to make that mistake. I'm not going on a limb there. It ain't even funny anyway. Let's face it. Zombie attack ain't funny.
Why not?
Because it ain't funny. Hey, there's a bunch of zombies out there. I mean, maybe if the nature of what was happening in the news wasn't so gruesome and so traumatic and so horrifying, it might be funny, but it ain't funny, so I'm not going to do it. I'll let somebody else do it. All right, in other news, Scout Willis is arrested on an open container fake ID charge in New York. When we come back, we'll talk about that and whether it's anything to really be concerned about, whether it's anything to really be shocked about when, probably about 50% of a lot of teenagers in this country are doing the same stuff. Seriously. Or is this the result of Demi and Bruce breaking up and she was going out with that Ashton Kutcher? And, she was sniffing some kind. What the hell was she doing anyway, man? Wasn't she doing bath salts?
I don't know.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. So, did you say that Demi Moore, I don't think she was using bath salts. Scout Willis, daughter of Demi Moore and Bruce Willis, was arrested by New York Transit Police on Monday evening. She was arrested on suspicion of drinking alcohol in public and presenting a fake ID to law enforcement. Oh, no, not that. Court papers said the 20-year-old was drinking an 8-ounce Pakistani beer at Union Station, according to the New York Daily News, which first reported the incident. Willis, a student at Rhode Island's Brown University, was reported released without bail Tuesday and is scheduled to return to court regarding her two misdemeanor charges in open container and criminal impersonation. Though Willis allegedly first presented the fake New York ID with the name Catherine Kennedy, she later coughed up her legit California ID and stated her real name. She's a very proper, very impressive, smart young woman, according to who? The police? No, Willis's attorney. Heck, we're just impressed by the notion of getting... Okay, so the rest of this is the LA Times trying to be funny. So that's like nothing. That fake ID and what was it? Open container?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people get arrested for that.
A lot of people get arrested. A lot of kids get arrested for that. So I don't think that there's anything nefarious. The only other thing about that would probably be like a lot of people are saying, well, where are the parents? What happened? And what happened to Demi? And why did she pass out that time? Well, now that's a question. So we were just watching a TV special or TV report here on ABC's Good Morning America about bath salts, which was a pretty typical sensationalized report. The first thing they had was a piece of footage of a teenager screaming in the back of a squad car, which is right away gives you the idea that the bath salts causes people to scream and to have superhuman strength and to immediately want to eat someone's face off. So ABC News is lending to the confusion and the stupidity around this particular drug, as we knew that they would. But I am giving you credit, ABC, because they get upset if we don't give them credit for the audio that we use. So I'm giving you credit for being pretty much the jackasses that you are. So bath salts, a dangerous synthetic drug that's on the rise in the United States and might have led to a recent attack in Miami where a man allegedly ate off 80% of a homeless man's face. Now, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to take it to this extreme. Bath salts means you'll want to eat someone's face. But I know some people will. Here's a senator from I forget which state, Delaware. Chris Coons, a Democrat, dangerous drugs like bath salts are terrorizing our communities and destroying lives. Stricter measures must be taken to stem the growing prevalence of bath salts and other new designer drugs. Now, they may be terrorizing communities from this standpoint. The police are finding it difficult to deal with people that are on bath salts. In other words, they're like back in the day when PCP was a big drug that was being used by people. Angel dust. Fairy dust. You used to smoke it, sprinkle it on weed. You could sprinkle it on basil leaves if you wanted to, or bay leaves, and smoke this stuff. And there were people snapping handcuffs and beating their heads into the windshields of cars and, you know, fighting off cops and stuff like that. Methamphetamine has been described as a drug that can do the same thing. So now we have bath salts. And along with bath salts, we had a guy who ate someone's face off. So naturally, that's maybe what it makes you do, right?
Yeah, yes.
I guarantee you, man, I could use this drug, this bath salts. You know what I had to do one of these nights? I had to come on the air and say, I'm now going to smoke some bath salts, man. I'm going to sprinkle whatever the hell on, you know, I'm going to smoke it or whatever you do. Do you snort it or smoke it?
I think you do both. You snort it and smoke it.
I had to do a whole show after using bath salts.
Yeah, well, if you try to eat someone's face off or something.
Yeah, that's right, bud. If I try to eat your face off, I'll let people know first. How about that?
Yeah, go on ahead and say it.
I'll go, folks, I can't help it. I'm going to eat Bud's face off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to do it. I think you got to have bigger problems going on. I don't know. Look, I remember, let me give an example, folks. Again, you need historical perspective. You do. Do you know, because if you think that today's communication helps us clear the air about things, I've got just a couple of things to say to you. One of them, people were calling the CDC to ask if zombies were attacking. Hello? Again, historical perspective is always great. When I was a teenager, Diane Linkletter, the daughter of Art Linkletter, who was a television host, a very, very popular TV host, Diane Linkletter jumped to her death or fell to her death from a window in her apartment in West Hollywood. It came out in the news that Diane Linkletter had jumped to her death because she dropped acid. Her father, God rest his soul, a great man, Art Linkletter, unfortunately furthered this rumor himself. The Linkletter family furthered this rumor themselves, saying our daughter Diane, she took LSD, she jumped out of a window, or something to that effect, like, you know, kids can do really irresponsible things on acid. Well, years later, the truth has come out, and that is this. I don't even know that she dropped acid. Nobody is even really sure that she was on acid that night. The guy that was with her, and there was a young man in the apartment, he claimed that she wasn't. And I don't know that there was an autopsy done or any post-mortem done that could determine what was in her system. I don't believe any was actually done. And acid could do this, and acid could do that, and acid caused the Manson family to go out and kill the, you know, Sharon Tate, and this and that and something else. So now we got our latest little rumor, which is bath salts create zombies. I could smoke a big fat joint of bath salts, and I wouldn't want to eat anybody's face. I might get the munchies.
Yeah, yo, man, you don't even know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, okay. I swear to God, you keep bugging me, and I will do it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. We're online at philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, including, of course, our daily podcast of this here show. Just go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass, booby. And don't forget our free Phil Hendry podcast. That's the free Phil Hendry podcast available now. Just go to the free Phil Hendry podcast link there, Phil Hendry Radio link, at philhendryshow.com. It's all there. And don't forget Father's Day, our Phil Hendry shop. We'll see you guys Monday. Have a great weekend. Till then, let that be a lesson for you.
Woo! Phil Hendry.
Woohoo!